Well, welcome to the next one in our series on the Psalms of Ascent. We're working through these Psalms from Psalm 120 through to 134 over the course of the summer. And they were initially sung by pilgrims going up to Jerusalem from wherever they used to have their home in the country on that difficult journey to the place where they would go and worship with others at the temple or in the city of Jerusalem. They're a picture not simply of going up physically, but also going up towards God. And they are a picture for us in the New Testament, not so much of a physical journey to a physical city, but of the spiritual journey that we're on if we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, from a world where we are not at home to a heavenly city, which is our heavenly and eternal home. And they are, if you want, the pilgrim's handbook for the journey. And they've been a great challenge as well as an encouragement for us over these last few weeks. But here is Psalm 125. It's a wonderful psalm. And we're looking at this one under the title of Security and Unshakable Confidence. And so that's how I want to begin, really. What do you do when everything feels shaky? What do you do when everything feels shaky? Because life does feel like that, especially Christian life can feel like that sometimes. It may simply be that we are nervous about our own capacity to hold on to the promises of God. That we're facing situations that cause us to have a very shaky grip on those promises. And we're nervous about whether we will be able to hold on to all that God has promised in the midst of troubling circumstances, whether that's illness, whether that's simply difficulties of work, whether that's a challenging family situation, whether it's just a particular mess we've got ourselves into and can't see the way out of. When everything feels shaky, when nights are perhaps not as, well, straightforward as they used to be, when we're tossing and turning in our sleep, when there are sleepless nights, what do we do when everything feels shaky? There can be external reasons, can't there? Things that hit us from outside that we have no control over. And there can be internal reasons too, where we just don't feel up to the task that is before us. Whether that's some ordinary task, just a job at work or a family issue, or whether it's the task of holding on to God's promises in faith. And what we see from this psalm, that when things are shaky, the Pilgrim's Handbook tells us that it's who we trust that is the key. Who we trust is the key. Have a look at what verse 1 says here. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. That's very encouraging, isn't it? Okay, the person who's writing this, knows that actually you can feel pretty shaky on a walk. There can be a moment at the end of the day when you're perhaps lacking in water, where your legs start shaking. You're not sure you continue, not sure you can walk steadily along the path anymore. But here he says, when you get to Jerusalem, when your trust is in the Lord, well, you're like that city you're heading towards. It's a city that is immovable. It's a city that is a mountain which cannot be shaken. Very vivid picture as they're heading towards this city and they're feeling unsteady. They're wondering whether they get there. They're saying, if you trust in the Lord, you'll like your destination. You can know now the confidence of the destination that is still ahead of you. The unshakable confidence that we can have in the Lord. Now, notice that for us, as we walk on our walk after Jesus has come as the fulfillment of all Old Testament promise, it is a confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. If our trust is in him, then we have an unshakable confidence, like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. There's nothing that can uproot it. No earthquake, whatever it records on the Richter scale, can unsettle the confidence that we can have if our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. As what the psalmist is saying is that Christian faith that's placed in Jesus, in God and his promises, is not a leap in the dark, but it is instead the equivalent of living in a stronghold. A leap in the dark feels very uncertain, but living in a stronghold on a rock like Mount Zion and Jerusalem That's a different matter altogether. And just like we've been seen in the other Psalms, the question is how we think of our situation is important. Remember in Psalm 121? I lift my eyes to the hills. No, my help doesn't come from there. My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth, who is unseen and yet the creator of those things that everyone else trusts in. Here again, I'm being reminded, I may feel shaky, but my confidence is in one who is unshakable. It's like Mount Zion, the unshakable mountain on which Jerusalem is placed. My destination and its security is the security I indeed enjoy now on the way. Faith, not a leap in the dark, but like living in this stronghold, this fortress, Mount Zion. And why is that the case? Why can I be sure that's the case? Well, I think three reasons as we go through the psalm. Here's the first one. We have a Lord who constantly protects us. Have a look at verse 2. For as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. So you think about Jerusalem, it's not simply a city on a rock, which is solid. It is a city that is in a brilliant defensive position. It's surrounded by other mountains. It has a phenomenally well-equipped defensive position. And the picture here is that that defensive position, the hill that you're walking towards on this walk up to Jerusalem, if you're on the physical pilgrimage, is a picture of the spiritual protection that God affords his people. You're not simply in an unshakable city, you're in an unshakable city that is surrounded by a defensive network that is the best you've ever seen. So the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. You ever seen one of those films where somebody's sort of one man against however many is 20? The challenge is, isn't it, you can defend yourself against one or two coming at you from here, but when everyone's coming from every direction, that's when they tend to get overpowered. Because we don't have eyes in the back of our head. We can't simply protect ourselves from all the things that assault us from every direction. And maybe that's what you're feeling like spiritually now. If it was just that issue that was there to challenge you, you'd be all right. But it's the fact that it's that issue, and now there's this one as well, and I can see another one. I can't even see it, but I've got the sense that one's coming at me from behind as well, and I don't know how I'll be able to cope. I could lose my job, and I could trust God that he could bring me through that. But if I lose my job, and I get a significant illness diagnosis, and I'm not sure if I can hold on in the middle of it. And I can't even see where the threats are coming from to my spiritual stability. Well, here is the promise that the psalmist makes to us. We have a God who surrounds us, who is just like he's the God who never slumbers or sleeps. So every day, at every moment, he's protecting us. From every direction, he is guarding and securing us as well. Nothing can surprise us. There can be no attack from the flanks that catches us out. No, God surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. He is never off watch. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? Those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are not only have an unshakable confidence in a God whose promises are secure, but have a God who protects and surrounds them the whole time. Now, you may say, it doesn't feel like that. Well, of course, that's the whole point of these psalms, isn't it? It never actually looks like that. But God's promises here are to remind us, but it is like that. We have a God who never tempts us beyond that which we can bear, who always strengthens us for that which is in front of us, who is always keeping us and protecting us, never letting us have anything that is more than we can bear. As we trust in him, we have a Lord who constantly protects, who has eyes in the back of our head for us. Here's the second thing. We have a Lord whose rule will come. Have a look at verse 3. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. The psalmist knows that the experience of the pilgrim is that God is not in control. That's what it feels like. It feels like the scepter of the wicked, in other words, the rule of those who are not God, is what's taking place. it feels like God isn't in control. Things happen and we say, God, what are you doing? More things happen than we can deal with in our own strength, and we wonder whether God has given up on us. We feel the scepter of the wicked is ruling. We feel that forces opposed to God seem to be holding sway, seem to be overpowering all that we would want God to be doing. Well, here's the promise. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. God's rule will ultimately come. It is a rule that's been established. Jesus Christ is ascending and he's on the throne. There will be one day when that rule is seen by everybody. Every knee will bow, as we're reminded in Philippians chapter 2. And we can be confident that that day will come. Whatever rule is there now is a rule that is temporary and impermanent and will not continue to the end. It's what we read in Psalm 2, which we're going to come back to at the end, isn't it? Those who scoff, the rulers of the world scoff, well, the Lord laughs and puts his king on his holy hill. There is no rule that can ultimately overtake God's rule. And there will be a day when Jesus will not only be known by those who trust in him as king, but seen to be king and be king. The Lord whose rule will come. And notice the implication of that. Look at the second half of the verse. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. See, our temptation when we don't see God ruling is to take matters into our own hands. To think, I'll solve this problem my way, and generally using the methods of the world around us, not God's way of doing things. We looked, I think, last week at Jesus' words, or the statement of 1 Peter about Jesus' attitude on the cross. He committed no sin, no deceit was in his mouth, and he did not respond to the threats that were made to him. Instead, he kept silent, and he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Jesus did not, because it seemed like God was not stepping in to deal with all the accusations that were false, that were being thrown at him. He did not take matters into his own hands. He entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. And here is the challenge for us. In the midst of our difficulty, will we trust that God is able to sustain us and keep us for another day? Or will we take matters into our own hands and give up on God and do it our way? Give up on doing things in the way that God asks and say, well, I'm just going to do it the way the world asks because I just think that's going to be the most effective and practical. Well, now the promise is that the scepter or the wicked will not remain. And we're not to give in, if you want, to temptation and think, well, God is not acting and therefore I'm just going to give up on God and do it my way, do it the world's way. Here's the third reason. The Lord whose purposes are good. We've had a Lord who constantly protects us. We've got a Lord whose rule will come. And thirdly, we have a Lord whose purposes are good. Look what he says in verse 4. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. See, the psalmist recognizes the ultimate outcome of God's action in the world. Notice the way he phrases it. He prays that God will do good to those who are upright in heart. That is, the believer. He never presumes on God's goodness, but he asks for God's goodness to the one who trusts in him. Nor does he pray that God's judgment will fall on the evildoer. He just states the fact that that is a reality, that God will ultimately bring judgment on those who refuse to acknowledge him and who turn away from him. The psalmist knows what we know from Romans 8, that God is in all things working good for those who love him, making us more like Christ. Perhaps not good in the way that the world around us would define good, or sometimes that we want good to be defined, but nevertheless God is working his good purposes out in us. And if you were to turn back to Psalm 1 in the Psalms, you would see what God says even at the very beginning of the Psalms about his eternal purposes for those who trust in him and for those who refuse that trust. Let me read from Psalm 1. He talks about the one who trusts God and whose delight in his word, having an eternal future. And then he says in verse 4 of Psalm 1, "Not so the wicked, they're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." Here the psalmist in Psalm 125 in a way repeats the confidence of all of the psalms, indeed all of the scriptures. That God is a God who is doing good to those who put their trust in him, but who will ultimately condemn those who reject him. The Lord whose purposes are good. That's encouraging for us, isn't it? Because it's always the feeling that we have that that isn't the case. When we're struggling, our feeling is so much that the good are doing well. The good are doing badly and the wicked are doing well. If you turn back to Psalm 73, you'll see that as well. Let me read a few verses in that and see if you can echo what's being written to there. "Surely," verse 1, "God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I'd nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles." And so he goes on. The psalmist here recognises those struggles that we feel, that God's good purposes are not working out in front of us. The wicked seem to prosper and the good struggle. But here the psalmist reminds us that in the end, it is God who works good for those who trust in him, making us like Christ, as we know from Romans 8. And there will be judgment for those who reject his word and turn against him. And so where does that leave us? If we're encouraged to think about who we're trusting today, well, we recognise here that the Lord is the one who constantly protects us. The Lord is the one whose rule in Christ will finally come. Nothing can stop it. And the Lord is the one whose purposes are good, that he is working them out now, and they will finally be seen at Christ's return. The psalm ends in this way: "Peace be on Israel." To those who are decidedly anxious and not at peace, for when everything is shaky, here is the confidence and the understanding that brings peace to Israel. We see it in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 4. Let me read to you. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So there is the New Testament way of understanding this psalm. That in the midst of a situation that will cause us humanly to be shaking uncontrollably, where anxiety takes over and drives all our decision making, we are not to rely on our own strength, thinking that God is not in control, thinking that the wicked will triumph and God will not. But rather we are to remember that God surrounds us and protects us. That God's rule will ultimately be seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his purposes are good. And as we remember that and as we turn to him and place our trust in him, not a leap in the dark, but living in the stronghold of his encircling arms, so we are reminded that he will give us a peace that the world cannot give. It is a peace that in a way transcends circumstances, goes beyond what we feel to what God will deliver. There is an unshakable confidence that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who trust in him, well, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. They are like mountains surrounding them as God surrounds us with his protection. Let's pray, shall we? And ask that God would help us to be those who place our trust in his good and kind promises. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these good promises. We recognise that so often we simply go on what we feel and see around us, rather than what you have promised us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray that our confidence would rest not on circumstances, but on your unshakable kindness and goodness to us in him. And we pray that you would remind us that you are the God who constantly protects us, that you are the Lord whose rule will come, and that you are the Lord whose purposes are good. And that as we turn to you and place our trust in you for another day, so you would give us that peace that the world cannot give. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.